Good morning.
Good morning.
Somebody at work asked me, "You're taking a group to Mexico?" And I said, "Yes." "Are you crazy?" Well, that's a different issue. But no. "Do you know that you could go to Mexico and you could die?" I said, "Yes, I'm aware of that." "Did you know that you could go to HEB and die?" It's amazing how people have this idea of safety and this idea of security, that if they only stay in their house and they're real careful and everything, nothing bad is ever going to happen to them. You know, I think it's worth the risk to do some things for the Lord. And so do pray for us as we go down there. It used to be that my reason for taking missions trips was to take only young people and take prospective missionaries, those that were maybe had an idea that maybe they wanted to be missionaries. But now I've realized my perspective has changed, and it's been a while since we visited the missionaries. And there's another reason to visit missionaries, and that's for their encouragement. It's tough, you know. It's not an easy job to be away from your family and away from your home nation and away from your home church, and many times in very, very small congregations and slugging it out. So it is an incredible encouragement for them to know that their home church supports them enough to come by and see what's going on. So we're going to have more of them in the future. So I would encourage you, if you didn't get in on this one, there's going to be other opportunities. Just stay tuned. Okay, look at Genesis in chapter 2. We'll read our text for this morning. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Let's bow and pray and ask God to bless our message. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for just being so good to us and sending your son to die on the cross for us. Lord, we're saved because you took the initiative and you loved us, and we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray now that you would bless this message. I pray that anything that I'd say that's false would just fall by the wayside, and that you would suit this message to the heart of every believer that's here today, those that are listening over the internet. Lord, I need your help. I need clarity. I need boldness. I need you to speak through me to accomplish your purpose. And we ask that you do these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, what a verse. I think this verse right here is a verse that the world just in general does not believe. I don't believe this verse, that God actually formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what this tells us? It tells us that God created us, that he's our creator.
Amen.
We read verses like over there in Jeremiah where God says, where he compares himself to the potter and we the clay. And so he's the one that forms us. And then, you know, how in the world can the clay say to the potter, "Why hast thou formed me this way?" You know, if he is the creator, if he is the one that made us, then that implies a whole lot of things. There's some considerations to be made here, and so I've got a few of them. And I just want to talk about the soul of man. I want to talk about what we are. And especially in this modern era in which we have so many ideas, not only of the origin of man, but of the existence of God, And it just seems like all of that's falling out of the way. I just want to reiterate the fact that God is our creator, that we are his creation, and because of that, there are considerations. There are some things that we need to consider if that's the case. If God did form us and breathe into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul because of God, then there's some serious implications here. I know that there's a raging debate now over women's rights and over the abortion issue and whether abortion should be banned, should it be allowed, and there are some very, very forceful voices. I just want to let you know that from a Christian perspective, one of the reasons why we are so adamant against abortion is because that's a living soul inside of a woman's body. That means that's a person. It's not just a clump of cells. It's an actual person. And so that's what drives our opinion of the abortion issue. We believe that the sanctity of life is very important. And I'm not going to preach on abortion just in necessarily this morning, but I want to preach on the soul of man and why it's important that you understand that your soul was created by God. And I had no allergies this morning, so I came to church. So somebody in here is not right with God. All right. Look at Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 28. We're going to come back to this point. We're going to actually look at several scriptures here today. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 28, he says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, what a verse to start out with when we're talking about the soul of man, right? Number one, this tells us right here that the soul of man is different from the body, that there is a body and there is a soul. And by the way, another human being, the only thing that they can do is kill the body. They can't do anything more than that. They can't touch your soul. But the Bible says that you ought to fear a God which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That tells you that God is the creator of the soul, that when man became a living soul, it was God that did that. How we can possibly believe that we are not accountable to God in some way, shape, or form, that we don't owe him any allegiance, that we don't owe him any gratitude, that we don't owe him any kind of a thought in our mind is ludicrous, because he's the creator of the soul. And so he has the power to create the soul. He has the power also to destroy the soul in hell. And it's very clear in that right here. When God made man, he made him distinct from the animals. We are not part of the animal kingdom. We did not come from the animal kingdom. I wish I was more of a scientist and could recite scientific facts in support of this, but I read them and then I promptly forget them. But I do know that God, he made us different than he made the animals. We treat men different than we treat the animals. Some people think, and I'm sorry if you've got one of these little things that you carry in your purse, you know, and you call them your son or your daughter, you know, that's real cute and everything, but a dog is not your son and a dog is not your daughter. All right. It's just not right. I went to a person's house. I'm not going to say whether it was a man or woman for their own protection, but they they had some damage inside their house. We're a handyman service, so we fixed damage. I went in. The whole house was destroyed. There were holes this big in the sheetrock on one side of the wall, a hole on the other side of the sheetrock where the dog chewed through the entire wall to go through, chewed the staircase and chewed these things up. And I said, ma'am, what's going on here? And she said, well, I'm a rescue person. She goes and picks up dogs off the street. You know, I almost rear-ended somebody one time because there was a dog in the street and the people were there with, come here, come here. And I went around them and the dog went around the other way and I missed the dog, but there's a difference between a man and an animal. If I go outside and my chickens are clocking and everything and there's a dog out there, I'm going to shoot the dog for getting to my chickens, and I'm not going to cry. This is just an animal. I'm probably going to go to jail now for this. That's a hypothetical situation. But if I go out there and the chickens are squawking, and I've got my rifle, and I look out, and it's one of my neighbors in my chicken coop, I'm not going to shoot. That's a man. You realize we are so warped in our generation that we have young people in gangs that'll pop off rounds at another human being with no thought as to whether or not they're created in the image of God, where God made them different than animals. They just kill, and they have no compulsion, no empathy, no kind of maybe later on they do, but murder, God said, do no murder. God said, don't kill another human being. And the reason why is because that human being is in the image of God. I had a friend of mine, not from the church, outside the church, and I'm not going to use that example. It might get back to him. All I'm saying is that you ought to look at men different than you look at the animal kingdom. If you love the whales more than you love people, then you got a problem. Oh, well, I just love dogs more than I love people because dogs understand me. No, dogs go by instinct. So yeah, they're going to love you. They don't care whether you just cheated on your wife. They don't care whether you just embezzled money from your company. They don't care whether you just committed a crime. They just want their food and they want to be petted, and it's all instinct. It's all just, and so don't get the idea that somehow animals are more compassionate than human beings and animals are more moral than human beings. No, animals go by instinct. They do what God created them to do and no less. We are distinct from animals. God made us a living soul. You don't find, I drive past the matas, you know, look out there, the cows in the field. You know what those cows are thinking? Gotta eat grass, gotta eat grass, gotta eat grass. That's what they're thinking. Where's the grass? Where's the grass? Gotta eat grass. Gotta eat grass. They're not thinking, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What was that big flash in the sky up there? Was that the space lab or was that what was that? No. But you're different. You contemplate your existence. God made you distinct and unique for a person, for a purpose, because he wanted to have a relationship with you. God wanted to have fellowship with you. God created Adam and Eve, and he would walk in the garden in the cool of the day, and they would talk. And can you imagine? That's what God created us to do. Is to have fellowship and relate to him. God has no messages for the animals. God has, other than the fact that they are created and they do what he has created them to do, but you are different. Don't think that you're just going to die and that your body's going to lay in the ground and that's going to be the end of your life. No, remember that verse we just read? Don't fear him that can kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do, but that's not the end of you. But fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. You see, God's got you in his hands. God's got power over you. We're distinct. God has created us to be accountable. God has created us to, you know what he did with Adam? He put Adam in charge of dressing the garden. He gave Adam the job of naming all the animals, which is no small task, you know. God gave Adam a job to do. God gave Adam meaningful work. Do you know that men have meaningful work that we can do? Our lives have meaning. There is no meaningful work to a whale. He's not trying to improve the world, you know. He's not trying to advocate for other whales, you know. He's just doing what whales do. But human beings are different. Do you realize that God made you a living soul? God made you. You're like, I don't have anything to do with God. Yes, you do, because he made you. Do you realize that if you look over in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, Hebrews in chapter 9, in verse 27, he said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." This verse is trying to tell you something real important, that that body is slated to die. I don't think that there's any ambiguity with that. I don't think there would be a single person in this room that would deny the fact that all of us are going to die. Maybe here in San Antonio, maybe in Mexico, maybe crossing the street, maybe right there in your chair. All men are going to die. That's a given. But that verse says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you realize that God has made you to be accountable to him? Do you realize he's the creator? He's going to account for his creation. He's the one that made you. He's the one that you're going to answer to. And it's going to happen after you die. Do you realize that you're going to stand before God after you die? What stands before God when the body is in the grave? It's your soul. You're unique in that your soul continues after death.
Amen. Amen.
The animals, they just die. And the spirit goes with them. Man is not that way. You don't die like a dog. You die different. There's a different, whole different scenario for a human being that dies. His soul continues to live. How does it say that don't fear them that can kill the body and then they don't have any more that they can do? Why is that? Because man is a living soul. That down there in that body, you know, you're not that body. That body is just a tabernacle. It's just a case. It's just a temporary house. The real you is inside. That's amazing. You ought to consider your accountability to God. You ought to consider that God made you different than he made animals. So you ought to consider that God has a purpose, a meaningful purpose for you on this earth right here. That your life is not simply just work and play and buying things and waiting for the next party and looking for things to do. That's not your life. Your life ought to be intricately wrapped up in the will of God. Look at another verse, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Here's another consideration. Let's back up to verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amazing question. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's consider this for a minute. This is talking about the soul of man. Let's take a consideration. Let's look at what he's trying to tell us here. What are you going to be profited if you gain the whole world? Let's just put it in perspective. What if you get everything that you want out of life? Maybe as you're growing up, you say, I want a lot of kids. So you get a lot of kids. You want your kids to be healthy, so your kids are healthy. You want wealth, and so you get wealth. You want whatever it is that you want. Maybe you want to take a trip. Man, you're able to take that trip. Maybe you want to buy a possession so that you buy a possession so that when you get down to the end of your life, you can look back and check off the marks. What is it they say? What is it that people have? A bucket list? You know, where the bucket list, you know, hey, I want to jump out of an airplane. Wow. Yeah, you're really deep in your bucket list, man. You're superficial, man. But yeah, so you got your bucket list. All right. So what if you do everything on your bucket list before you die and all of it's checked off and all of it was wonderful and all of it was good, and then you die and you lose your soul? Then you make the comparison. Okay, now God has destroyed both my soul and my body in hell. I'm separated from God for eternity. And I look back and I say, well, at least I made my bucket list. Hey, at least I went to visit that place. At least I got to buy that boat. At least I got to marry that girl or whatever it is, whatever your goals are. At least I got to become president of the United States. That's a big deal. But you lose your soul. He's asking you a question. He wants you to consider the profit in this. What are you going to be profited if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? What are you willing to trade? Oh, there's people that are willing to trade very little. They will give no consideration for their soul, for their eternity, for their accountability to God. No, I'm sorry, I don't have time for God right now. I don't have time to do those deep thoughts. I got other things that I want to do. You know, that's a trade. What you've done is you've just traded something of little value for something of great value. I want you to consider the value that God is trying to communicate to us of a soul. God made us living souls. Amen. And if that soul is lost, according to this passage right here, that soul is worth more than the wealth of the entire world combined. Amen. How is that possible? How is that possible that the soul of one man? I know in some countries life is just so cheap, you know, and mainly in areas where humanism abounds and the idea of a creator, and life is just really cheap. But God says that just talking about a soul, so that must mean the least soul. The least esteemed soul in this world, the lowest of the low, is more valuable than the wealth and power and influence of the entire world put together. Amen. Because it's created in the image of God. God made that soul. You want to despise another human being? God created that soul that you despise. God created that soul for His purpose and His glory. Doesn't He say that man is created in the image of God? And in the image of God created He them? That's an amazing thing. You know, we gotta realize the number one reason why it's more valuable in the world is because of its source. You know, it is important to know the source of something that's created. Judy and I were, it was last Saturday, we were at Bass Pro Shop. Good place for Christians. And we walked up and there was a lady out there and she had the clipboard and I'm like, oh great. And she says, hey, you would like a free gift card? And I already know nothing in life is free, right? And I said, no, thank you. That's all right. What? You don't want a free gift card? And she says, all you have to do is ride in this Toyota. And I said, all I got to do is ride in this Toyota and give my email and give my telephone number and get a, and she said, I don't want your email or your telephone number. I just want you to ride in this Toyota. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I'm going to get, she's going to get me, but I'm going to do it. So Judy and I, we signed up and we rode. We got a free coat out of it. We got to use those gift cards and buy her a coat. Didn't get to buy me anything, but got to buy her a coat. And I'm saying this for a point. I'm not just telling a story. So we're driving and the guys, and I picked the 4Runner to ride in. I thought that that's a cool little thing. So we're riding in this brand new tricked out 4Runner, brand new with all the bells and whistles and everything. And I said, what makes the 4Runner special? And he says, what makes the 4Runner? Don't ever ask that to a Toyota man. He says, this one is made in Japan. And I asked him a simple question. I said, are the cars that are manufactured in Japan better than the ones that are manufactured in the United States? And he didn't hesitate. He said, yes. He was convinced. He said, yes, absolutely. He said, the technology's better. The workmanship is better. Everything's better. He said, if it comes out of a factory in Japan, it's a better car. You know what he was telling me? Is that it matters what the source is. You're valuable because of who created you. Amen. You're valuable because God shaped you in the womb. You're valuable because when you were just a clump of cells, God knew you.
Thank you, Lord.
How do we know that? Because He told Jeremiah that. He said, while you were in the womb, I knew you. I called you while you were still in the womb. That means you're a human being right from the get-go. The source is God. God created you.
Thank you, Lord.
You ought to walk with a little more pep in your step and your head held up a little bit high. I don't care what your background is. When people ask you where you're from, say, I'm from God. Because that's who made you. That amazing thing. So, yeah, it's the value of the soul. It's valuable because of the source. It's valuable because of its eternal nature. And it's valuable because of God's valuation on it. See, because God's the one that said that it's worth more than the world.
Right.
God put the value on it. You know what fair market value is, right? Anybody bought or sold a house recently? You know what it goes for? That same exact house, right? Those sticks and the two befores and the sheetrock and the little bit of roofing material, and basically that's what a house is. It's just some sticks and built on a little rock, and it's got a couple of shingles on top. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe it was worth $150,000. All of a sudden, it's worth $300,000. All of a sudden, your house, your little ramshackle shack, people are outbidding each other to try to buy it. Why is that? Because of the value that other people place on it. So what's your house worth? Well, it's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it. Let me ask you a question. What's your soul worth?
Amen.
It's worth whatever God's willing to pay for it. Now here's the deal, is that God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, and He gave Him as a sacrifice for sins in order to redeem you. This is incredible. Look at First Peter. I got so many verses and I get... Look at First Peter, and let's look at the first one in chapter 1, verse 18, then we'll go to chapter 2. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Why is it that you're not redeemed with silver and gold? Why is it that God can't buy your soul back with silver and gold? He's already told us over there in Matthew, because your soul is worth more than silver and gold. There's not enough silver and gold in this world to redeem the soul of one man. You're not redeemed from silver and gold, corruptible things, from vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, God had a plan for sinful man. It's to our shame. Because we just start talking about how we're the creation of God, how God made us in His image, He made us eternal, He gave us the breath of life, by Him all of the molecules in our body exist. I mean, all these amazing things about our Creator. And what do? We walk away. I ain't got time for that. Seriously? He created you, He made you, He formed you from the dust of the ground, and He has a purpose for your life, and you're just gonna, with a wave of the hand, kinda blow Him off and walk your own way? Man, if I were God, I wouldn't save you either. Seriously. I don't give people things that are rude to me. Well, sometimes I do. My wife is rude to me, I still give her things. She's not rude to me. Judy, she's so sweet and kind. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says over there in the book of Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. That's an amazing thing. God redeemed us with the blood of His own Son. That tells you a little bit about the value of your soul. Is the price that God is willing to pay to redeem it back. How in the world are you going to top that? Look at 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 25. Back up to verse 21 so we get the context. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body, Lord, on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop, Amen, of your souls. God's the shepherd and the bishop of your souls.
Amen.
You want to know what God wants out of you? I'll tell you what God wants out of you. He wants your soul. He wants your acknowledgement of what you are. He wants you to freely, God's not going to force Himself on any single person. God wants you to answer to Him. He wants you. Can you believe that? Why would God want me? Does he know what kind of a person I am? Does he know what I think in my mind? Does he know what my thoughts are? How in the world is it? Well, he doesn't want you because you're beautiful. God in his love and in his mercy extends an offer to you to be saved. He wants you to return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Isn't that an amazing thing? Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. How he went through what he went through and didn't revile and didn't just wipe out humanity in a single blow, but he did that because he looked forward to the salvation of souls. It's an incredible thing. One more verse. We can't leave this discussion without talking about Luke in chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully, a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And we're going to read the rest of the story in a minute. But let's just stop there. And let's clarify something, that this guy is not on the wrong side of God because he's rich. Do you realize that riches are not sin? That you can be rich and be right with God? The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it's your attitude towards money, not money itself. And by the way, this rich guy, he did what I wish more people would do. And that's take care of themselves.
Amen.
You've got your own life, right? And young people, listen to me. You're getting ready to leave mom and dad. You're getting ready to go out into that world and do things on your own. Pay your own bills. Make your own money. Amen. Live in your own house. Have your own things. Whatever lifestyle your income is, do that. Be responsible for yourself.
Amen.
That's a good thing. Having goods laid up? Why? You just gonna sponge off the government and be a welfare agent? Man, if you've got goods, lay them up. Prepare for tomorrow. Hey, there might be a freeze. There might be a shortage on something. I want you to know that the reason why he's on the wrong side of God is not because of the things that he did. The things that he did are things that every man should do. To be responsible for yourself. So, we clarified that. We'll get off that. But now let's read the rest of the story. But God said unto him, thou fool. Is he a fool because he made a bigger barn? Is he a fool because he took care of himself? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Wow. Realize number one, thy soul shall be required of thee. That right now, God's got a date for your death.
Amen.
He does. You don't know when it is. You say, man, I'm going to live for a long time because now I'm taking CoQ10. No, you could die. It's like that person at work. Don't you realize if you go to Mexico, you could die? Correct. I could. And I could die going to HEB. I could trip on that little yellow stripe out there on our porch and hit my head on the baptistry and I could die there. Your day is appointed. God is accounting your days. And there will be a time when God says, thy soul shall be required of thee. And he's going to come. And there's going to be no argument. And there's going to be no opposition. and there will be nothing to say. God is going to require your soul, and he's going, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This guy who prepared for everything, commendably prepared his life, did not prepare to meet God. Are you the fool? Have you spent all your time and labor in this life and you've made no preparations for meeting God? You're a fool. God made you. God breathed into you the breath of life. God created you a living soul. God put you on this earth for a purpose higher than the animals. God gave you a reasoning mind, and God wants your love and your devotion and your worship and your attention. And listen, it's not unreasonable for God to expect his creation to give the creator honor.
Amen.
Right now, you're still alive. You've still got your mind. You've still got the ability to reason. You need to give your soul to God right now. Because one day your soul's going to be required. Were you just trying to scare me? I wish I could. If there was some kind of psychological technique that I could use in order to get you to realize that one day you're going to stand before God, I would. But the thing is you will stand before God, and you ought to fear him who, after he hath killed, hath power to destroy your body and your soul in hell. But that judgment doesn't have to be yours, because he's already sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. He gave himself for us so that we could live. God's purpose is that your soul live with him for eternity. That's an amazing thing. The offer goes out to you today. You could be an eternal soul. You can be a saved soul here today by just responding to God's offer. How do you do that? You simply repent of your sins and you turn towards God and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. You surrender yourself to him and you live for him. You give yourself to him. You got nothing to offer him. You can't barter. You can't trade. You can't buy. You simply just got to surrender and turn towards him. My advice, living soul, is that you would turn to God today, right now, before it's too late. That's the message. Let's bow and pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for any soul in this room that's not saved. Any soul that's listening to us over the internet that's not saved, Lord, that they'd see their predicament, that one day their soul is going to be required of you. Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes. I pray that you would convince them deep down inside of their need for you. I pray that they'd stop fighting you, they'd stop forgetting you, they'd stop blowing you off and putting you to the side. I pray for anybody in this room right now that is not, that doesn't belong to you, Lord, that that would change. Lord, save them, Lord. Have mercy on them. Open their eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that we're willing to talk with you about your soul. Myself, Bill, Brent, Stephen, Lyndall, any of us, anybody in this room actually with a Bible, we'll be happy to. Please don't leave this room without knowing where your soul is going to spend eternity. Praise the Lord. See you tonight at 7 o'clock.